You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the Friday, the 15th of October. I don't know why I said the Friday as if it was something big and major. It's another Friday in October, but big night in baseball last night, and it's something we got to talk about a little bit. That's the biggest story in baseball. We're going to hear from our Locked On MLB insider, Gordon Beckham, and we're also going to talk about umpiring today. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about, in addition to getting the recap with our Locked On MLB insider Gordon Beckham there. But also, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of the Rockies' perspective of this postseason race or this postseason series we just saw. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Rockies your first listen of the day. Thank you so much. We're free and streaming on your favorite streaming service. You can find us there. Just search Locked On Rockies, and it's all over the place. And we're also brought to you today by Spotify Green Room. You can download the app on iOS devices and join us when we go live, usually on the weekends around these parts. And so check it out. Follow us on Twitter so you know when we go live at Locked On Rockies. Yeah, today we got to talk about that Game 5 last night, that series between the Dodgers and the Giants, maybe what the Rockies kind of were thinking, or at least what this Rockies fan was thinking of. And we're going to talk umpiring today, and we're going to get the inside scoop on the series from our Locked On MLB insider, Gordon Beckham, as well. I think Daniela maybe is also going to join. We'll see. We will check in with them later in the show. But first, what a series. I mean, it was destined to be a great series, and can't believe it ended the way it did between the two 105-plus win juggernaut teams, the Dodgers and the Giants. A pitcher's duel with the Dodgers doing, the random, the unthinkable, perhaps, and going with the opener and not going with Julio Urias, the guy that we saw decimate the Rockies all season long. But, I mean, obviously he came into the game and was stellar, as he normally is, but that's creativity. That's it. That's open-mindedness. That's Dave Roberts taking a chance and willing to take the heat for that moment if it doesn't work out, and relying on how much greatness you have on that team and solid performers. That's looking at what gives you the best advantage to go to a tough place to play and give you the most amount of success. And that's what we saw in Game 5. All it took was just a couple of tilts of the momentum, just a couple swings of the at-bat. I mean, that's when a game is that low scoring, that tight, that late in the game, that is in a lot of ways elite baseball. It's elite pitching, it's elite defense, and it is elite hitting, but it does kind of show the power that elite pitching can have in the game of baseball. And it was something that was on full display last night on both sides. I mean, for the Giants to shut down the Dodgers for as long as they did with the lineup that contains those bats, and again for the Dodgers to really do it throughout the series to eliminate the long ball from the Giants, a team that was so good at scoring runs and hitting home runs, especially at home. That is no small task for the Dodgers to go in and beat San Francisco in San Francisco. That was something that was very, very hard to do and will remain hard to do. And San Francisco's magic season comes to an end on a brutal check swing call that you just can't make there. You just can't. It's way too close. It's not how anybody wanted that series to end. But it San Francisco's magical series does not end with a World Series title after being the biggest surprise in baseball all season long. Instead, the juggernaut that is the Los Angeles Dodgers rolls on to meet up with the Braves, in which a series I don't think the Braves have a chance. I mean, they might win a couple games. They might do that, but a Dodgers team that has had to fight tooth and nail to get to where they are now. A Dodgers team loaded with that much talent. A Dodgers team that just had Mookie Betts go 4-for-4 in a big-time elimination game. that is going to be tough to beat. If the train is heading to the rematch that Major League Baseball probably wanted, I don't think a ton of fans are excited. At least I'm not all that excited for. I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox have been playing great and have been playing hot as well. They might give the Astros some fits, but that's where I think the train is heading. I don't know. I don't know what Atlanta is going to be able to do to stop LA after LA just had to fight the other best team remaining in the postseason after the Rays were eliminated and, you know, the Astros as well. I mean, those were, I think, the top four teams going into the race, and the Dodgers doing what they do and winning in big situations, at least of late, and back to the NLCS for them and a potential with the World Series on the horizon. And so what do the Rockies, I mean, that's when you watch this series, that's what you have to remind yourself. That's what the Rockies compete against all year long. If the Rockies want to be successful in October, they have to be able to develop and build teams that are going to go toe to toe with the Giants and the Dodgers, you know, the Padres too. I mean, and again, but I'm saying, look at the success that those two teams have had in the past decade where I've cared the most amount about baseball. And when it comes to the NL West, the best teams that have been in the NL West for the past decade have either been Dodgers teams or Giants teams, with the exception of a couple of Rockies teams in there. Diamondbacks, I don't think the Diamondbacks were ever the best team, but they definitely had some flashes as well. And the Padres have potential as well, but I think the Rockies have been able to show when they were competing how elite they could have been and how much better they could have been with the foundation that they had set. We talked about it, and I've mentioned it a couple of times talking about this series, that gold standard is on full display there. You have to be ready to go toe-to-toe with an opener for LA in a Game 5 and then have to go and follow that up with Julio Urias coming up after him and then be able to pitch to Mookie Betts and keep him off the bases, keep the Dodgers from hitting a clutch big hit thing, clutch hit in a big situation that we've seen them do so many times. That's what you have to kind of – if the Rockies are going to learn anything, you know, right now – by being less, it's what is working for those teams. And I know you can't recreate the Dodgers model, because even though I believe you can get more free agents and you are more of a destination spot than you might think for the people in charge give the Rockies and Denver credit for, obviously you're not going to be able to go and do everything the Dodgers do, but you have to be able to learn from them. And you especially have to be able to learn from what the Giants did this year and what made them so good. Because they took what the Rockies like to do and with older players and position players, and they somehow cracked into the formula to reemerge these players, as most of them as elite players, as contributors daily to these players that we all thought we might be saying goodbye to here soon. So it's something interesting. I mean, it just also highlights that the Rockies on the roster and organizational structure have a long way to go if they're going to step up and compete with these teams. Got to be ready to go toe-to-toe with the heavyweights, because the NL West is going to continue to be good. Because the Dodgers are going to continue to be good. The Giants love being in the mix, and they're going to probably make moves or do what they can. And, the Padres, they're looking to rebound as well. There's a lot of fighting in the NL West, and if the Rockies want to be competitive, it's time for a new approach. It's time to make moves. It's time to be aggressive and go out and get some more names to fill out this roster and beef up this team, so you don't have an absolutely embarrassing record against the Dodgers and the Giants this year. The Dodgers and the Giants just absolutely crushed the Rockies both at home and away this year, and that's a prime example of what the Rockies need to do to get better. Let's talk about umpires, and let's talk about umpiring in baseball here in just a moment. Got to tell you first about some of our wonderful sponsors, and that includes the great folks at Built Bar. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever, and it's got so many delicious flavors. There is something for everyone. Here's the flavors. Some of the flavors: coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint, brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite flavor, German chocolate. I really like anything with chocolate. I like the double chocolate too, but the German chocolate's got a nice, interesting little mix to it. Hey, if you can't pick your favorite, I got the best thing for you. It's the mix box. You get two of each of the nine flavors. Easy peasy. There you go. You don't have to pick your favorite. You can have them all. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors. All tasty, all healthy. Order today. Get that orange, that salted caramel, that mint brownie, your favorite. Or get that mix box, like I said. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off the best tasting protein bars ever at Built.com. Umpires, huh? They've had a fun year. They've had a banner year for umpires and for the calls of robo umps and things of that nature. It's all an interesting conversation, and as much as we want to sit here and say robot umps will fix everything, there's a lot of questions that I have with how precise you can make it. What is the margin of error? What is the margin? What do you need the margin of error to be? There needs to be something to be done. And let's start here with our conversation. Check swings need to be reviewed. And at least maybe there's a limit because there's maybe so many of them. But that has to be something, at least maybe in the playoffs. There has to be a rule where a checked swing has to be able to be reviewed, because that's an important thing. In my eyes, a checked swing being reviewed is kind of up there with fair or foul. I mean, that one is so hard, I feel, as an umpire, for you to actually judge correctly. And no more, I mean, did we see it other than in full display in last night's game. It's just something that I've always thought was, how do you make that call? How do you know? Like, how do you look at it in that moment? And then you can tell with like full swings, but on those close ones right there, that has to be something that you can take a look at, because that's not something the point of the review is, it's like, I kind of liken it to when there's a football catch and they roll over on the ground. You saw this with the Eagles game last night, actually. It was called a completion on the field because the angle looked like the receiver rolls over and maintains possession of the ball. But however, when you slow it down and you look, you clearly see that the ball falls onto the ground and the roll kind of scoops it up and brings it in. That's how I feel like you're only really able to analyze a check swing, something like, or a fair foul ball. It just simply needs to be something that you can look at. We have the ability to look at things. Baseball reviews already take forever. I mean, you're not going to, you shouldn't be able to do it for, I guess the red flag with that one, though, is how often can you do it? But you have your limited number of challenges a game. You have to really pick your when you want to do them. And it's just something that's one of those subjective things in baseball that I feel like should be reviewed. And honestly, I don't know if I'm necessarily opposed to a strike three or ball four. I think that, you know, you're going to have to, that'd be, if you're reviewing every pitch, that might be different, but maybe you should be able to review that too. I just think there has to be creative ways to embrace the review without being too worried about the pace of play and stopping it every 2 seconds. There has to be a limit, sure, but there's been too much. There's too much of the human error right now. I don't think to fully switch to an automated computer strike zone is the right way. I just think umpires should have access to more tools. I just think that they, and if we're going to have New York be the one making the calls anyway, they're the ones using all the tools. We have all these angles. We have the best cameras ever. We can see a baseball spin in slow motion. Why can't we, you know, why don't use the tools we have to enhance the game that way and to make the right calls? I mean, you really don't sit well. And you can't blame it just on the calls. That's true. The Giants should have scored more than they should have not let up runs. That's obvious. That's what you can say. But there is something when you know, the officials and when the call is just that influential. Like, I especially with that call is so big. Why are you relying solely on it just being on the guy's call, the ump's call? Why not use all of the tools available? Like, maybe that's the stipulation. You can only review that stuff in the playoffs where it really counts. Because, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, do we need to slow down our mid-July games with the Dodgers, you know, with the Pirates and the Marlins or the Rockies and most of their competition with some check swing calls or reviews and balls and strike reviews? Maybe not. But in that situation, you have to use every tool available to make the right call. And with especially with the way sports have embraced replay, all of sports have replay in some matter. And baseball has embraced so much data and analytics and all this and math and boop, ba, 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 do, and cameras and launch angles and all this stuff. Yet then it comes down to the big calls, the major calls. It still just relies on the umpire. And I think you need the human element of the umpire. I think you need someone with human eyes assessing and watching the game. I like umpires on the field, but I don't like the limited tool. I think the umpires need more tools, maybe. They need to have, with how many people are at a ballpark doing things, if they're going to pop on the headset, maybe you don't need to go all the way to New York. Maybe there's something else. There's just so many ways of communication, so many ways of analyzing and learning and going after these big rules. I mean, these big situations. I mean, you look at the slow-mo, you look at the cameras, and he doesn't swing. I mean, it's clear as day. And that one stings. That freeze frame is gonna, you know, is on the front page of newspapers, I'm sure. And now that guy's just sitting there, and you listen to the quotes, and he's like, I thought I saw that he swung, so I called it a swing. That's it. And yes, that's baseball. That's where you throw your hands up, and you're like, all right. I mean, that's how the game's played. Them's the rules. You know, you really can't do anything about that. You can't change it. But it seems kind of silly in 2021 that it wasn't able to be something a little bit more dove into. When it's the old days, when it's, you know, when there's nothing going on, when you got your five television cameras and most of the people are still listening on radio and all that stuff, yeah, sure. But when I can see the sweat drip down from players' faces and the seams of a baseball whip the moisture off of it during a wet game, I feel like we can implement the tools and the resources and the things that we've already put in ballparks for a lot of reasons into making it a more consistent, a more well-umpired game, less of an ego thing. Because let's not mince words here. Most of the umpires and a lot of the time the umpires are professional and stuff, but there's an ego thing. There's an element of emotion in there too that gets in the way with quick tosses, with just being absolutely crazy. I mean, that at bat to Chris Bryant was ridiculous. I mean, then you got makeup calls and all this stuff where it's just like, no. You can't allow that to happen because you know through the fault of human error that's what people can fall into is those traps. I don't think a clean replacement of umpires with robo umps and robo strike zones is the way to go. But I think embracing more of the data, the technology, and the tools that are available for us to see at home as viewers into the ballpark experience and for making it a better called game, I'm all for. And let's just be honest, folks. What are we going to do to baseball to make it under 3 hours? I mean, there are things, sure, but I don't think people, especially in, like I said, maybe it's limited to the playoffs. Maybe that's where you, that because everything is way more important. But it's kind of silly that we can look at that swing and see it clear as day and not have any form of way to challenge that on the biggest stage, in the biggest part of the night. That's just me. Let's get more from this game last night. What a game. What a series. Let's listen in to more from our friend Gordon Beckham here and Daniela talking about this crazy, crazy game five in this crazy series. But before I do that, I got to tell you about the number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season, Bet Online. They're back and better than ever. They got a new updated site and interface. They got even more odds, props, and contests. And hey, if you want to get in on the playoff baseball action, Why not do that as well? They continue to be the number one source for everything football at Bet Online. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. That's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. From baseball, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Let's get a look at Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Giants with our Locked On MLB insider, Gordon Beckham, as well as a little bit of a recap of what we thought, just our closing thoughts on the series and a look ahead for the Dodgers. Let's check it out.
What's going on, everyone? This is Kim Becker with a Locked On Now insider report, and joining me is our MLB insider, Gordon Beckham. Gordon, a huge Game 5. The Dodgers came away with a win over the Giants, but that last strike three call, what do we think about this one, Gordon? I don't even know where to start, but do you think this was a controversial call? What do we think?
I think it's a call that you definitely don't want to make to end a, you know, NLDS game, an important game, Game 5. I thought he did check his swing, and I think it was the wrong call. I don't think any team wants to see the ending of a game like that. That's just, you know, to have such great seasons on both sides, you want to see like a game-winning hit or a clean strikeout or a great play to end the game, something that basically is not what we just saw. I thought that he checked it up, but that's a tough call as an umpire on first base. I mean, there's not much he can do. He's going off his gut instinct on what if he was to offer that pitch. I think he offered. I just don't think he actually swung or attempted to swing at it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a call that we're going to be talking about for a long time here. But other than that one call, I mean, this series was something that everybody was looking forward to with the Giants and the Dodgers, the two very strong teams this season. Did it all live up to the hype to you until this last call?
Yeah, I think it did. I mean, even with the last call, it still was an amazing series. I mean, you had two awesome teams going toe-to-toe all series long, great pitching generally. I mean, Webb was unbelievable. This kid's going to be a star. You know, a great game tonight. I mean, ended the way that you wanted it to end in a lot of ways. I mean, a 2-1 game, got a run real late to win the game. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I mean, this is two of the best teams, you know, in a long, long time in one division, and they're going at it. And Scherzer comes in and shuts the door. It was pretty amazing.
Well, it's definitely a series that took a lot of energy on both sides, but now the Dodgers have to go and face the Braves. How will they be able to prepare now with a series like that under their belt?
Well, I mean, they've clearly got momentum on their side. I mean, they're going into the Braves series. They are going to go on the road, and they're coming to Atlanta. So they're going there to win another series. I mean, these are two good teams. I think the Braves have a lot of momentum too. It's going to be really interesting to see how they come out with a little bit of a long layoff. I mean, the Dodgers are still going to be riding high, and they're going to be moving forward, and they've got that feel of the game still. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Braves come out of the gates. I think it's going to be, you know, amazing season. I mean, have fun for the Dodgers tonight. They're going to be celebrating that clubhouse, and then tomorrow they'll probably head to Atlanta is what I would assume, and get ready for another, you know, jam-packed series. I mean, the Braves stadium can really pack them in there, and Atlanta faithful has been wanting to win for a long time, so we'll see.
Yeah, the train's got to keep moving. They can't celebrate full throttle here just yet. What do we think the hardest thing about the Braves is going to be for the Dodgers?
I think it's their lineup. I mean, the Braves pitching staff has been very good, but their lineup has been really, really good. I think that the way that they handle their at-bats, they grind out at-bats, they make you work for outs, and they have to do that against a really good Dodgers pitching staff. I don't know who you'll see in the first game for the Dodgers, and I don't think Scherzer would be ready. Maybe he will. Maybe today was his bullpen day, and he'll be back for game one. But, you know, I think it lines up pretty good for the Braves. I mean, the Dodgers had to use Urias and Scherzer tonight. So I think that does bode well for the Braves. They've got a great lineup. They're going to make those pitchers work. it's going to be a good series. I think the Braves are a little bit of a dark horse here, and people are probably doubting them, but there's something about the Braves this year. They're just finding a way to win.
All right, Gordon, well, let's get your initial prediction for this one.
I think I haven't thought too much about it, but I think you got two really good teams here. I think the biggest thing for me is that the Dodgers have been doing it. They just beat the best team in the big leagues. They're talented from top to bottom. Their lineup is better top to bottom. Braves have an incredible infield that they've all had amazing years hitting. And they've got a great staff, too. I think that the edge goes to the Dodgers in terms of the pitching staff, and the Dodgers have a really good lineup, too. So I think I'm going to go with the Dodgers. But it's going to be a hard-fought match. I'm saying 6 or 7 games for sure.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. And I'm sorry I put you on the spot there. We're just minutes after this game ended, folks. So I really put Gordon on the spot for that
one.
Right.
But hey, that's what I'm paid to do. This is going to be an awesome series.
You're the expert here, right?
That's going to be an awesome series. I think everybody should tune in. That's for sure.
You know, kind of surprised there. I guess I have underestimated Atlanta a little bit, according to our Locked On MLB insiders there. Maybe it's something I need to keep my eyes out for. Maybe something I'll be caught off surprise. That infield in Atlanta is really good. And, I mean, boy, Freddie Freeman can really swing the bat. Dansby Swanson's turned out to be pretty darn good. And that Atlanta team does have a lot, but I just saw Rockies team be really successful against the NL East this year. So that's kind of where my head was at with that. And I think the momentum of beating the best team in baseball is a lot. It's something that you definitely value greatly and is going to be a huge benefit for the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers could do it in 5 if they play as well as they can. But maybe I'm underestimating Atlanta. We'll just have to see. Lots of baseball coming next week and through the weekend here. And, you know, no better place than to follow it right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you so much for making Locked On Rockies your first listen every day. We are free and streaming everywhere. And, hey, now go make Locked On MLB your second listen of the day. Join Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, a.k.a. you got to call him Sully because that's his name. And he'll bring you around the majors, both present and past, for an exciting look at the game. Go check out Locked On MLB's free and streaming on all your favorite services. Folks, this is Paul Holden. I am the host of the Locked On Rockies podcast. You can follow us at Locked On Rockies. You can follow, actually, LO Rockies on Twitter. You can follow me at Paul Holden 33. And with the Rockies in the offseason, I have been doing this a lot here for our friends. Go check out the great, great coverage of all the Colorado sports. Locked On Nuggets, Locked On Avalanche, and Locked On Broncos, bringing you daily coverage of those teams with the season just around the corner for basketball and hockey underway now. And, of course, Broncos really got a lot of questions going on right now and that are a pivotal point in the season. So go check out the great coverage from all the great Locked On hosts there for all the great Colorado sports. And, folks, until next time, this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.